Warning, ProTri News is a podcast with different opinions, knowledge and possibly fake news about triathlon racing. This is not for the faint of heart. If you get offended or hurt by what is said, please stop listening and go listen to some uplifting meditation music or just go work out, then try again.
I started using the Magic 5 goggles back in 2021. For the last decade, I struggled to find a pair of goggles that didn't leak or fog up during a workout. When you're like me and wear contacts, having goggles that leak simply won't cut it. The Magic 5 has solved this and my goggle leakage problem with their easy-to-use 3-step face scan that optimally fits your goggles to your face. What does Jan Frodeno, Ben Canute, Daniel Backegaard, Lauren Brannon, and Vanilla Language all have in common? Besides being the best swimmers in the sport,
I thought that we were hearing the intro. Magic 5. Liner thing.
Visit themagic5.com/ETN.
When does the intro today. Thing go, though?
This is an affiliate code, not a discount code, because each pair of goggles you buy helps support us.
Wait, one break real quick,
to keep this show going.
All the audio.
Thank you, and enjoy the show.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of ProTri News. I am your smartest host today, joined by two gentlemen from Oklahoma, Kyle and Talbot. Hello, guys.
What's up, Chelsea? I'm so glad you got to do the intro today.
Yeah, it's been a 2.5 year build, but I finally got it down. So excited to be here chatting.
And I'm shocked that Chelsea is here, because if I was Chelsea, I would not be in the show today. I'd be over at Folsom Field with prime time and ESPN's College Game Day with all the Colorado hype. But that's just me.
Yeah, I would have been there if my ProTri News salary was a little bit higher, but I'll have to wait a few more weeks to get on.
The tickets are so expensive. It's like $500 to go to a game now. It's the hottest ticket in college football.
So. It's the Sanders effect, so I'm told.
And that's not Lionel Sanders.
Deion Sanders.
Man, we made it a minute into the show and Talbot already mentioned LS.
No, I didn't want anyone to get confused, because Deion really brings the bucks.
Okay, got it.
Prime time. All right, we have a big show ahead of us. And first and foremost, the series is coming to an end. An incredible year of racing. Chelsea, how excited are you that it's coming to an end, and how sad are you?
I think it's been an appropriate build. We're ready to crown some winners and look forward to another year. Do you guys even remember what the first race of the season was of the series?
I want to say Abu Dhabi last year. Is it Abu Dhabi?
This year.
Correct, Kyle. Abu Dhabi this year. Great. Back first weekend of March. Feels like many lifetimes ago. Since then, they've been in Yokohama, Cagliari, Montreal, Hamburg, Sunderland, Paris, kind of part of the series. It is part of the series. And in a week, they will race one final time in Pontevedra for a world champion. So that title will be awarded based on your 4 best scores plus the grand final. The grand final has a bit more weight, so those points are worth a bit more. And yeah, we're going to chat a bit about that race and talk about who's in the running to take home the titles. It's definitely a close race between two on both the men's and the women's side, but not out of reach for a few more. So exciting stuff.
There's like 9 women that still have, like, a lot of stuff would have to happen for 9 of them to actually have a chance, but 9 actually do have some sort of odds to win the world title.
And the first part of the show is going to be separate, 2 separate shows essentially mixed into one. First part of the show, we're going to go over the short course racing. And then second part of the show, Chelsea and myself will step away, and Mark and Pat will come in for the long course stuff. So, but with that being said, let's dive into the World Series rankings going into this weekend. You have a hot battle for first and second. Walk us through it, Chelsea.
All right. So the races are actually 2 separate days. The men race Saturday evening in Europe. It'll be Saturday morning here in the U.S., and as you can probably assume, the kind of front runners for the series this year are Alex Yee and Hayden Wild. Alex Yee, I would say, has the edge right now. He's 100 or 200 or so points ahead, and has definitely, I think, his performance in Paris, it was a very pronounced victory and kind of showed us that he has a run that can't really be touched. Unfortunately, Hayden Wild had a little bit of an injury. He crashed pre-race and wasn't able to finish, so we didn't get to see that battle. So I'm really hoping for a race where Yi and Wild get off the bike together and we get to see an honest run battle between them. They've gone head-to-head a few times this year. Hayden had a DNF back in Abu Dhabi, which unfortunately has him a little bit behind Yi in this series. I think had he finished that race, it would be a really close battle. It still is definitely going to be, I mean, Hayden could for sure take the title, but yeah. And right behind them, we've got, I think, Vasco Velasa sitting in third, also has a chance to win, or definitely to be on the podium. And then Leo Berger and Dorian Conix, the Frenchmen, are sitting in fourth and fifth. So I think, I mean, we saw last year at the November Abu Dhabi, which was the grand final for the 2022 series, it was a bit of an upset. Leo Berger was crowned world champion after a very impressive race there. So as we know from that history, anything can really happen.
The best tweet I saw going into this was, I need to give credit to him, Tim Hemming, who is a world-renowned rider for triathlon. He said, this is what needs to happen to gain the world title this next weekend. It says, Yi, just to win it, needs to beat Hayden Wild. For Hayden Wild to win it, he needs to just beat Alex Yi. For Vasco Velasa to win it, he needs to beat Yi and Wild and bump them off the podium. For Berger to win it, needs crazier shit to go down than 2022. And for Blumenfeld to win it, he needs a massive pileup to happen in the race that also takes out all the above, including Dorian Conix and Matt Hauser. So that's what needs to happen.
That's a very good comedy summary of the situation. World Triathlon actually put together a pretty good synopsis as well of all the nuances of points and rankings, and you can go on their website to check out if you are really interested to know exactly what the points and rankings look like. But it should be a good race. It's a course that we haven't seen too much. It was done last year for a World Cup, I believe. Mm-hmm. But
there's a bunch of speed bumps and stuff, wasn't it?
I think there's, some elements like that in the bike. Not a ton. There's a little bit of a riser of a hill, but nothing too technical or too difficult. The run, I've been hearing a lot of chatter, has a fair amount of elevation each lap, something like 40-something meters of vert, which over four laps is definitely a lot of climbing for a 10K run. So I think a run course like that definitely favors more of a strength runner and also someone who paces it well. I think blasting the first lap is going to put you in a bit of a hole for hanging on. One more thing is the swim. There have been murmurings of water quality, like there always are. I assume we'll have a swim. It won't be a duathlon, but of course we never know. The river there is influenced by tides, so they actually put all the tide levels for each day in their athlete guide. So if you know anything about that, which I know nothing, you could investigate that. And there is somewhat of a current in a river swim. I don't think it will be as significant as it was in Paris, but plenty of elements to factor into how that race plays out. I think, we've seen a lot of big groups this year. I'm hopeful there will be a breakaway in both, but I don't know. It's probably not super likely as it has been in the past.
And if it turns into a duathlon, Chelsea, what happens to the grand final rankings? Does it stay the same? And then also a lot of countries have Olympic slots on the line. Do those all go away?
So, it is an Olympic selection event for some countries, including the USA. A second spot on both the men's and the women's race could be awarded to an American who finishes on the podium. If it becomes a duathlon for that, that's nullified. It won't count for Olympic selection. As for the points, I think they do 75% of the total points. I could be wrong.
That sounds right.
It's definitely not full points if it's changed to duathlon, but it is still worth something and will factor into that overall series, for which there's a ton of money on the line. Winning the grand final gets you 30K, and then winning the series gets you 70K. So if you won both, that's a $100,000 day. And it actually pays down in the series, I think, to 35th place gets paid. And in the the race, the grand final, not the series, it pays down to 40, which is crazy. 40th place still makes like a grand in this Ponte Vedra race. So there are still some spots open on the women's side. It's not uncommon for there to be 20 DNFs and for last place to be 40th and still getting $1,000, which probably wouldn't pay for your flight over, but just saying.
Crazy. Crazier things have happened. There's also a U23 race. Anything worth noting for the U23 world titles?
Yeah, and there's a women's race too. That battle is a Cassandra Beaugrand, Beth Potter duel, and I think one of them will likely be our world champion. I think Beth Potter may have the edge. No, Cassandra Beaugrand has the edge at the moment, but Beth Potter is not too far behind and was obviously very impressive in Paris, another Olympic distance. So she may be my pick for the winner this weekend, but I would not count out Cassandra Beaugrand. Also close behind and people that have a chance to win and definitely a chance to be on the podium. Emma Lombardi is in third and Taylor Spivey is not too far off in fourth. So another pretty close race in the top five for the women too, for kind of that series podium. And I think it'll shake up a bit depending on how this race unfolds.
And do we have prize money payout for series? I'd love to see like what Rappaport would get for fifth. Where she's currently at right now.
Yeah, I just told you that the series bonus pool pays $70,000 to win. Down to fifth, you're making $15,000. So
$15,000.
Yeah, it's a bit of a drop off, but they are making money in each of these races, and so.
Yep.
So you have a chance to win $100,000 if you win the overall, and then you also get overall series. So if you're first place and then overall in the series, you could get $100,000.
Correct.
Not bad.
And some notable big names from the series. And then also not racing this weekend is your current reigning Olympic champion, Flora Duffy, which is unfortunate. Georgia Taylor Brown, Taylor Nibb, and then anyone else really?
Jessica Learmonth, featured in Tokyo. But yeah, it's definitely missing some of the, a year ago in Abu Dhabi, Flora Duffy and Georgia Taylor Brown were battling it out for that overall series, and they're both absent. Taylor Nibb's absent, someone who usually factors in the race in some significant way. So we'll see. I mean, a lot of solid athletes there. We've got the full squad of seven Germans, and we've got a full squad of seven Americans. Usually only five of a country are allowed into the race, but because this race in the women's side is not full, everyone rolled on. So that's given Gwen Jorgensen and Gino Sereno on the US side a chance to start, where they had to wait and see if that wait list cleared, which it has. So exciting racing in 1 week's time, which we will be commentating.
That's right. So be sure to tune in. We'll have a special guest commentator with us, Chelsea. You want to tell us about it?
Yeah. Kevin McDowell will come in to offset the intelligence that you two may be lacking, but we're going to keep you both on for your wit and charm. So
yes, exactly. And this is our final commentating alternative stream event for the year or even forever. So we would love for everyone to tune in, make this the most watch ever. And most importantly, this is the grand final and it is at a reasonable time for the U.S. audience. So if you are a long course listener, we would love for you guys to tune in, watch the grand final. It's going to be super, super exciting. There's lots of racing on the line from the Team USA Olympic slot, the France Olympic slots, Great Britain. There's a lot on the line. And then you can also get a 25% discount. We will post that on our Instagram page. But we would love for all you guys to tune in. It's at about 7, 8-ish a.m.
It's like 9 a.m.-ish mountain time, both Saturday and Sunday. So you can turn it on 2 days in a row. It really fills your weekend. And just as a reminder, you do need a subscription on Triathlon Live to watch that. We are able to give you a few saved dollars if you use our discount code. But
make it worth it.
Well worth the dollars.
Yeah. Well worth it. So tune in. But with that being said, let's dive into the stacked race this weekend for the grand final. You want to go men or women first?
Wait, what?
We're going to run through the race.
Picks?
What about how the race is going to unfold and stuff? This is grand final.
Yeah, I know.
I thought we just went over the series rundown. I want to talk about the races now.
How is the race going to unfold? All right, let's start with the men's. It's going to be a giant group.
I think it'll be going to be.
Yeah, it's going to be a giant group, and Alexi and Hayden Wild are going to duke it out, and I think Morgan Pearson will be on the podium.
Is it going to be a giant group, though, just because Christian still doesn't have that swim and we'll pull it all together?
I mean, we've seen in several races that Christian isn't really, he's not really altering the dynamics of these races right now. We're missing the swim of Vincent Louis. He's not here. So a lot of great swimmers still, but they haven't had a breakaway really all year that's effectively stayed away. Now that I've said that, I think there has been one and I'm just forgetting about it. But I don't know. I think the nature of this bike course, just it's going to be a big group.
I think Sunderland, right, Charles? Sunderland was probably the only one that there was like kind of a gap.
Yes.
Technicality in the hill of that course.
Yes, that was a great course. Yeah. See, I feel like I've seen so many triathlons lately. They're all blurring together and I can't remember exactly what happened in Sunderland. But Paris, Hamburg, all these races have been, a run race. So unfortunately for our super swim bikers who would love a breakaway, I just don't see that happening. And I think the men kind of have, obviously the fast swimmers will be hoping for that, but I would imagine they've all been pretty run focused since Paris, getting ready for this race. So,
and some athletes have been coming on form doing a couple of World Cups between France and this race, and people doing Super League between France and this race. So,
yeah, we've had World Cups the last two weekends. We had Carlo Vivari in Valencia. We've got Super League Malibu the weekend after Pontevedra, and then like four or five more World Cups throughout the fall, which is a really heavy World Cup season. A lot of points on offer there, and I think you're going to see a lot of these people keep on racing despite this being the end of the series of this kind of official championship series.
Because it's still pretty good cash for a World Cup, isn't it? Like $7,000 for the win?
Yeah, $7,500 to win. If you're 15th, you get $150.
Oh, that's enough for maybe a little bit of food.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Men's race, likely a big group. I think the women's race, it won't be a small breakaway, but I don't see it being a 50-person group like the men's race. I think in Paris, there was about 20 in that main group, which was one of the bigger ones we've seen in a while, and I'm guessing it will be somewhere in that 10 to 20 range again. There are a fair amount of very quick swimmers in the women's race who I think will be pretty motivated to press that swim, and I think that you're going to have definitely some Americans eager to press that swim and bike. But we shall see. I think that there's a lot of things that could happen, and I'll hopefully be able to...
race?
Yes, women.
I think that there's going to be a breakaway.
Of how many?
I don't know. I think there'll be a breakaway off that front. I think a lot of the Americans don't want Gwen Jorgensen onto the group, and you're going to have the likes of some of the slower swimmers off the back. And I think that you're going to have, Cassandra Bogron, all them up at the front pushing hard. Katie Zafiris will make that front group, and I see a lot of them pushing really, really hard to keep all the stragglers off the back. So I think that they might. Well, I mean, do you call that a breakaway, or do you call it just making sure that half the field doesn't make the front group?
I think we could classify it as a breakaway. A group less than maybe 10 people we could call a breakaway. But don't forget, we've had some really hardy bike power coming from some slower swimmers this year in the women's race, notably Norwegian athlete Lovseth, and then our Swiss athlete Julie Duran, who traditionally don't swim at the front, but have been pulling some bike groups up. So we had Taylor Nibb not have a great swim in Paris and pull that third main pack into the main group. So I think that contributed to having a group of 20 rather than a group of, say, 12 to 14. She will be missing. So I think that some of the stronger swimmers will be a little bit relieved that they don't have her dragging some people up, but that's not to say that there aren't other athletes who are capable of doing a similar job.
And will we see a lot of the Olympic criteria had you athletes going top eight in the Paris test event? And there was so much for that to happen. How many of these countries have a go top eight in the grand final? I know like someone like Matt Hauser unfortunately got COVID right before the Paris test event, so couldn't do it. But I believe maybe Australia or someone, like there's a few of them that they just need to get into the top eight so they can solidify their...
Yeah, I need to refer to each of the specific countries' criteria that also aren't on the top of my head. I know that, like I mentioned earlier, the Americans need a podium for one spot to go. The Brits, so someone like Beth Potter, who podiumed in Paris, also has to podium in Pontevedra to solidify her spot. So she needed two races to do the job. But like the Germans, who gave two spots in Paris and the women, I don't believe that you can get a spot again in the grand final. We will have all this info for you on the commentary to, yeah.
Australia, it's top eight for the grand final. Germany, it's top eight in the grand final and then be ranked within the top 30, which I believe for it's crazy. All seven of them are even ranked in the top 30. Spain, it is top eight at the grand final. And then I think for the women, it's top ranked and then top 12 in the world ranking or something like that. Something crazy. Yeah.
So if you're really interested in this stuff, we made a very informative infographic on Instagram that you can scroll down a bit to find. But as the race unfolds, we will keep you updated with, yeah, the live specifics of all of that and who's kind of on the cusp to get their Olympic spots, which qualifying nearly a year out now takes a huge amount of burden off someone's shoulders, and it just lets them have a way more relaxed winter, and they can plan the first half of their 2024 way more strategically to just be focused and on the Olympics rather than qualifying for the Olympics in April or May and then having to regroup and do the actual Olympics a few months later, which we've seen some athletes kind of shoot themselves in the foot by having to just stress to qualify late in the Olympic period and then just have burned so many matches that they can't perform well in the Olympics. So I think it's great for countries to get criteria out that allows athletes to check this box in 2023 and just have that in the bag.
You think America will qualify their second American women and men?
Very unlikely for the men. Possible for the women, but I mean, you've got, I'm probably putting Beth Potter and Cassandra Beaugrand on the podium, which really only leaves one more spot. So definitely, I'd say all of them have a shot. Yeah, I think it just comes down to how that race plays out. And definitely, Zafirez, Spivey, even Gwen Jorgensen have a chance to make that U.S. team.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It'll be super, super exciting racing.
Do we do picks? Chelsea did. I think Chelsea did all her picks.
She didn't pick third for the female podium.
Spivey, for sure.
Spivey? Okay. Males? What about your male picks?
I'll say Yee, Pearson, Wild.
Interesting. I'm going to go same picks as Chelsea, different order. I'm going to go Wild, Yee, Pearson.
Wild for the win.
Yeah.
Olympic distance.
I think that he's fired up after getting kind of the debacle that happened at the Super League race. I think he's fired up about that. I think he's fired up about not having the Paris that he wanted. And I think that he can 100% has the firepower and what it takes. Living in Andorra, living at altitude, enjoying the life. He's been training with his girlfriend. I mean, I think that Hayden's...
It's quite interesting how adversity really fuels some people. I know a few people that just race so well when they've got something going wrong in their corner and they just have, I don't know, a different fire that they don't have when everything is going well. So,
yeah.
Fair pick, Kyle.
Thank you. Thank you, Chelsea.
Female podium, Kyle?
Female podium. I'm going to go... Yikes. Sorry, I just blew into the mic.
Yeah, let's sorry not do that
on,
again.
Sorry if you were on a run and I just blew in your ear. For the win, I'm going to go Cassandra Beaugrand, Beth Potter second, and Kate Waugh, third. Kate Waugh's had a good lead up. She had a good race in Paris, and then she won the Super League race in Toulouse. So I think that she's, when you're hot, you're hot. And I think that she's been racing lights out and wants to prove to the GB Federation that she deserves to be third female for.
Yeah, that's interesting point you raised there. I think that a few months ago, we would have looked at the GB team and said, that would be Potter, Georgia, and Sophie Caldwell. But Kate Waugh has definitely thrown herself out there as a very impressive. She's younger and she's definitely coming into her own very quickly. And I mean, I would be taking a hard look at her if I was British Triathlon. I think that would probably be a decision between her and Sophie Caldwell, who's also really proven herself and can offer a lot in terms of a relay and team tactics performance. But yeah, good pick. Kate Waugh, grand final podium.
I got Alex Yee winning, Morgan Pearson second, and then Wild third. And then
the same as Chelsea? You just picked the same as Chelsea.
I know. I mean, it's solid picks.
You guys are twins.
Solid picks.
And we are not twins.
The female side, I got Beth Potter winning. And I don't know why I want to put her up there, but I want to put Laura Linderman in second. She has had a consistent year. We said even on our pre-show before Paris that she won't factor because we're not in Hamburg. But
out-sprinted Beth Potter in the relay in Paris.
Yeah, I mean, I want to put her up there. I feel like Cassandra's not going to have the race, but I might change my picks. But I'll put Cassandra second, Linderman third. I would love to see Jorgensen sneak onto the podium, but I don't know if she has the run just yet. But I think Jorgensen's going to be fourth, top American for sure.
Top American, man.
We're doing it again.
Time will tell.
We don't talk about top Americans. That's my
game. All right, but I think Linderman's going to have a good one. She's been focused on this one, so we'll see.
This makes me proud. It just makes me realize you've been focused and watching how this stuff goes, and you have an intelligent pick that I think has history and facts to back
up. Do you know how mad I'm going to be though if Linderman gets second? I'm going to be like, oh, I should have believed.
Yeah, that's okay.
So we just shocked Chelsea. Chelsea was like, you guys are going to put Gwen for the win. You guys are going to put all Americans for the podium.
No, I know you didn't do that because you didn't want me to just drop off the call and leave. So I'm still here. Really quickly, before we move on from Pontevedra, you guys mentioned this a few times, but the U23 World Championships is also going on this weekend. So those will be also broadcast on Triathlon Live, I believe, probably a little bit lower quality of commentating and coverage, but still big races for the U23s. Winning a U23 world title is a really big deal. And I mean, you've had a lot of your people who are sitting in that top 5 to 10 of the series now who've all been on a world U23 podium earlier in their career. So keep an eye on these ones. They are definitely your 2028 and beyond athletes to watch. And they will do Olympic distance as well. The Junior World Championship happened back in Hamburg. They race sprint, but U23s complete an Olympic distance. So we also have para world champs happening and an age group world champs happening. Big triathlon weekend in Pontevedra, which looks really cool. I would love to visit there.
Oh, wait, hold on. I'm interested in this U23 men's race now. I didn't realize John Reed was ranked number one. He's number one on Bibla, so.
Yeah. We'll have them give it a go. With that being said, again, I just want to emphasize this is our last alternative stream.
You're closing out the show already.
What did you add anything else you wanted to add?
Well, I want to talk about what's going to happen next year. Do we know what the series is going to be like next year? Do we know any?
I'd say we get Chris Gimmel on for a show. We can chat with him about it.
Yeah. Chris Gimmel. I feel like was going to be on here.
Chris,
he wasn't going to be on here, but sometimes you just have some technical difficulties. So, no, he didn't have technical difficulties. He had childhood difficulties with putting children to bed.
I don't think that World Triathlon has released their 2024 series schedule. I believe that will come out probably within the week, and we will be able to take a closer look. Obviously, the pinnacle event next year is that Paris Olympics, so makes a series year a little bit different. The grand final will fall after the Olympics, where a lot of athletes will be completely physically, mentally, and emotionally spent. But
and then we're going to see a max exodus of athletes heading to PTO.
I could be wrong, but isn't there, don't they usually do like kind of a softer series whenever it's the Olympics? Usually they only do like maybe like 4 or 6 races rather than like 10 or something. Is that correct or no? Am I talking out my ass?
Yeah, they didn't have 10 this year. I feel like they only had 6 or 7, maybe one less race because of Paris. But again, this year they had the test event. They've counted as part of the series. So I think it'll look pretty similar to the way it looked here in 2023.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair.
Okay, I expect, though, we can probably anticipate opening in March in Abu Dhabi again.
Yep.
Do you want to close out the show, Chelsea, since you opened it, or do you want Talbot to close out the show?
Well, we're not closing it out the show, so we're going on course.
Okay.
I was just going to remind everyone, we would actually really, really like for you to join in. If you've never actually watched a short course race before, they're extremely exciting. Jump on there. A lot of these guys, after the Paris test event, you're going to be knowing all their names because a lot of the guys and gals will be heading to the PTO events. So tune in this weekend. Use the ProTri News discount code to get 25% off, and we look forward to seeing you guys. That being said, let's move on to some long course. Let's cut it right there.
Welcome back to part 2 of the ProTri News podcast for this week. As you listened before, we talked about the short course racing that's going to happen this weekend with the grand final. And now we are back with Mr. Let's go Pat Lemieux first. Pat, did you have fun in Michigan?
Hey, real quick trip to Michigan. It was late Saturday night and then back Sunday night. So really, I'm going to talk about this, you know, in a minute, but really, really happy I made the trip. Thrilled to be on the podcast today. Big couple of weeks of triathlon still left on the circuit. So yeah, happy to, yeah, thrilled to have Mark back on. We need him because we got a lot of racing, a lot of long course racing to talk about.
You heard that right. Mark is back. Welcome back, Mark.
How are we both? I would say I've missed you, but we chat almost every day. So I mean, I don't feel like I've missed you guys. I've missed doing podcasts. I'll apologize up front. I thought I was going to take a little bit longer of a break. So I'm in a hotel in Nazi with sketchy Wi-Fi and not got my headset. So, you know, classic ProTri News fashion. One of us has fucked up their audio already, but let's hope the Wi-Fi holds and we'll persevere. And thanks for having me back on.
No worries. We're happy to have you back. There was some big racing that happened this weekend. However, Mark, when do you guys head to Hawaii?
Say again?
When are you guys heading to Hawaii, Mark?
Oh, right. So we are here for another week. We go home on Monday and then the following Friday. So that's Friday the 29th. We go LA, overnight in LA, land in Kona in the afternoon on the 30th. 2 weeks there just for a bit of humidity and heat. And then we tap the race out. We tap the race out. Cat taps the race out.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's good. Training's going really well.
Overnight, 2 days in LA, and then you can watch the Super League race on the 30th.
I could.
You could.
I'm not going to.
Why would you stay there and watch the Super League race instead of just going on to Hawaii?
Exactly. There's an island to get to. There's things to get on with. There's business to be done. It's the business end of the season for the women right now. Kona's the biggest race of the year for, you know, if you look at the stacked field. So it's all.
Yeah,
it's great.
Massive.
So do we, can I lead out with 70.3 Michigan, Kyle?
Yeah, take it out.
Perfect. So we had, you know, what was given that the sun is rising so late now, I was surprised to see that the start was at 7:50 in the morning in northern Michigan. So yeah, the sun didn't rise until 7:15. And, you know, the swimmers had a 61 degree lake swim. It did look cold, but the air temp was colder and, you know, everybody that was prepared, but you didn't see many people hopping in the water beforehand. Ultimately coming out of the water, Matt Sharp was really leading in that group, charging along for ultimately who could win the race. And eventually you had a guy like Jackson Laundrie, who was probably about a minute behind him. And then Lionel Sanders was following ultimately 2:20 down, but only roughly 40 seconds behind Jackson Laundrie. So you had early lead on the bike from Matt Sharp and Sam Appleton. They were really pressing the pace. And then at about the halfway point, Jackson Laundrie had overtaken them, got a lead, and then continued to press it. Ultimately, came off the bike with 2 minutes on Sam Appleton and Lionel Sanders, and then had 3 minutes on Trevor Foley, who unfortunately, between the bet that Kyle and I had, Trevor outrode Lionel Sanders. He had a fantastic ride, but now I owe Kyle dinner in Kona. So heading out onto the run, Jackson Laundrie, he lost 16 seconds right away in the first 2 miles and to Sam Appleton and to Lionel Sanders. And I thought, Jesus, is this a sign of things to come, or what are we going to see here? And he held him at a minute 40, a minute 35 for what was going to be the next 6 miles. And then his lead did start to tumble. And in that time, Lionel Sanders had stepped away from Sam Appleton. And then that was a first, second, and third on the road. And late in the game, Trevor Foley came up past Sam Appleton, ran into third. Meanwhile, Lionel had started to chip away some serious time on Jackson Laundrie. Ultimately, they ran down the finishing chute together. Jackson Laundrie had lost his breakfast on the finish line, and Lionel finished 10 seconds down. So I think, a fantastic race from Jackson Laundrie from start to finish. I think Lionel will realistically be disappointed with his bike, and Trevor will be disappointed that he lost 4 minutes and 25 seconds on the swim. So I think, when you have a complete race like Jackson Laundrie did, you're going to win. And we're going to see these guys. We get to see them rematch. We're going to cover this in our 70.3 Augusta preview come next Sunday. So it'll be interesting to see who pulls up, who recovers the best. But yeah, I mean, guys went deep.
I think the one for me, it's so easy. And I bet everyone's saying Trevor just needs to work on his swim. Why doesn't Trevor work on his swim? Trevor should take some time off the bike and run to work on his swim. But imagine how frustrated Trevor is with his swimming. And I've swam with Trevor. It's better than it was. It was real bad. And it's improving. But he is a really, really good bike runner. And when he gets the other two right, when he gets the swim right, which I think he will, he's young enough. He's not one of these 35-year-olds that needs to improve by 3 minutes. He's young enough to do it. He's a real weapon. Lionel, a few videos ago, talked about, it must just be the aero package or whatever because he's pushing great power. And I know Talbot here, he got done by a guy in a sleeveless tri-suit on a Ventum. The Ventum's a good bike. We're only playing on that front. But Jackson Laundrie, sleeveless tri-suit, a bit old school. He must have just pushed great power, right? Yeah. It was a really good race from Jackson Laundrie. And we've seen him do great races. What, Oceanside?
And I think the biggest thing here that acknowledged was, Jackson Laundrie didn't have a 70.3 World Championships that he was proud of. This race indicated that Jackson Laundrie is in fantastic shape, and on the right day is capable of performing at the highest level on the world stage. And I think that performance this weekend was indicative of how hard he's been training. So I'm thrilled to see him keep racing. And then I think if we don't mind moving on to the women's race, we had Lauren Brandon lead out the swim, led most of the bike. Tamara Jewett, Robin Pomeroy, Jackie Herring were in a chase group, and ultimately when they came out onto the run, you had Tamara Jewett. She chipped away at the lead and then established her own dominance, and then following that you had Jackie Herring in a, I'd say, a very safe place for second. And then there was a great battle for third, which Robin Pomeroy ultimately came out on top of. And I think, Kyle, was that her first 70.3 podium? Is that true? Yeah. So I think we just had equally as good of a race in the women's side. And
she did have a 70.3 podium back in 2016, but this is her first big podium since 2016.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's been a long time. Yeah, so and the way that the race was, if you saw us doing our Instagram live coverage, I just got really lucky where the men were exactly one lap in front of the women, and so two times I got to see first, second, third male roll by, and then first, second, third female roll by. They were basically together, and it was covering less than 5 minutes, and so I got to see a ton of the race. I didn't have a bike there; I was just walking around the course. And, you know, I think we were really curious beforehand what it was going to be like in Michigan and where this was going to be, what this event was going to be like, what the venue was going to be like. And for me personally, I was blown away at how good it was. The city of Frankfort, Michigan, was small, but they fully got behind it. Volunteers. I went into a local business for a breakfast burrito and I said, "Hey, are you guys happy the race is here?" And they said, "Oh, we own three of the restaurants on Main Street. We love that the race is here. We're so happy. We hope it comes back." And so that was really cool to see it supported in that way. The bike course.
It looks amazing, yeah. The bike course from your live clips.
The bike course, now let me explain this to you, was 90 kilometers fully closed roads. Not semi-closed, fully closed. So we did not see a car besides race vehicles on the course all day. So, you know, my hope and my we've got a community here that's really into triathlon. And my hope would be that this could be a venue that Ironman continues to find excitement around. And potentially this would be a real sneaky one for the PTO to come in and say, "Hey, let's bring 50 of the best pros from around the world into Frankfort, Michigan." And I think it would be, they would be blown away. We had Christian Blumenfeld on the live stream saying, "Hey, is this a world championship level course?" 100%. Absolutely. That's where they could host a world championship.
Is it got enough hotels and stuff like that?
So look, I don't want to diminish that. It would be a little tight, but the way that Michigan is there's enough small communities around it.
For 6,000 people to descend on?
Yeah. Traverse City is only 45 minute drive away. So it absolutely could work. It could work.
Wow. Just flip back to the women's race, just because a couple of things interested me. I was kind of, when I saw the first time split, and obviously Lauren Brandon was out front, and I saw a few girls sat on the back of, ladies sat on the back of on a pack together, and Tamara Druitt came through, and one of the last girls, ladies through that time split, I sort of had a mini rage. I was like, why the fuck are they towing Tamara Druitt to the run again? Because she just outruns you all. All you're doing is giving her this win. And Kat was like, "No, give it a time. Tamara's a really good rider now. Like, they'll realize this." I was like, the women's race is ridiculous. They need to like realize that they can't do this. And lo and behold, every single time check after that, Tamara Jewett was on the front having to do her own work. Did you see that on the road? Was she drilling the pace for that chase group?
It's tough to say. So I saw the race three different times. And, you know, I think that I didn't see enough to make a statement across the whole thing on that. I think the short answer from what I saw is yes. And I think she earned every inch of that race yesterday.
Oh, it's not about earning it. Like, yeah. She's the best runner. Like, she should sit in where she can. It baffles me sometimes when groups tow someone that is not just a little bit better than you, like that lead group with Kat and Emma Pallant and Paula. You know, there's all of it. One could outrun each other. Tamara's beating. Like, she's outright beating you by 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So I wonder why would you ever pull a turn?
Yeah. And the interesting piece could be is that the way that the course was with an out and back and it was incredibly remote, there was no information to really be heard or known of on course. Yeah. So you were riding basically blind, and she may have gone the full 90K and never got a time split on Lauren Brandon. So she probably
I think she's worried. Like, what she would have backed herself for 10 minutes on Brandon.
Sure. But I think like that's just the reality of the race is you would have had to ride a little bit because you truly, there could have been one other person up there you don't know, you know?
Yeah, true. And also, can we pick up one of the pod's favorite, Jackie Herring? Decent result for her.
Yep.
She's had a bit of a rocky year. Good to see Jackie Herring. Mad. Like, Jackie Herring's always good for a podium, isn't she? So good to see her firing well. I enjoyed it. And I loved your live coverage. You and Talbot, little double act.
Yeah, you guys did pretty good. You guys did pretty good.
Well, we were having fun. It was a real, look, it was, you know, it was a mission. I don't want to say it was a mission to get there. And it's but once I got there, I thought, wow, this is an amazing spot. And you guys heard me talk about it in our group text. I'm like, this is crazy. So, any age groupers listening, any pro athletes listening, if they have a race again, Ironman Michigan in Frankfort, absolutely circle out date.
Yep. Awesome. Tamara Jewett, another thing to mention, second fastest bike split. So obviously she's learning how to ride a bike as well.
Oh, she can always ride a bike. I mean, it's just the high pressure races where some of the ladies really drill it. Like when you've got Daniela drilling the front of the group, or whatever, she's not quite there yet, but I still have faith that Tamara Jewett will win a really big race in the near future.
I mean, her and Jackson both did not have the world championship that they wanted, obviously. And both of them came back and bounced back and got a win. So,
is that because Talbot edited Jackson Laundry out of Lionel's finish line photo? Is that why he didn't have
That's exactly what happened.
Bang out of order. And they were both on the finish line this time, but he got his finish line photo with Lionel he wanted, didn't he, this one?
Yeah.
So shout out to the Real Triathlon squad. Two wins.
Oh, yeah, they're killing it right now.
Yeah, never take the winning for granted. And
their sponsors must get some value for money, I reckon. Because when they started and they signed those contracts, I don't know if they knew just how good Tamara Jewett would be and how much exposure she'd bring them. Because the squad is all about, you know, you get a couple of cheap athletes in there, then you get a couple of big names. That's how like BMC and that work. And then you hope you sign some talent where one of them has a great result, like BMC did with Chelsea Sodaro and Max Newman, in fact, and Kat. Like they weren't the names when they signed them. So Tamara's delivering that for that squad. So fair play to them and Jackson.
Yeah, that's fair. You also had 70.3 Knock Heist, which was the streamed race of the weekend. Mark, did you watch that race perchance?
Is this the which one is this Uzbekistan or was this Belgium?
Yeah.
Oh, the Belgium race. I actually didn't. I flicked backwards and forwards to it. I saw some of it, but I was riding. I was trying to I was sat on the back with my phone balanced on my hammerhead.
Yeah, Lucy Buckingham took away the victory ahead of Lizzie Rayner and Emily Morier rounding out the podium. But Lucy Buckingham looked like she was ready to collapse at the finish line.
Well, she did collapse.
Yeah, I think Ironman put out the video, but looked like she went to the well to get that 70.3 win. She hasn't had the best season, so it's good to see her get a dub. And then the men's side, Peter Heimerich bounced back from Nice, got the win. William Hirsch, second place, and Harry Palmer in third.
I thought about this. Peter Heimerich's having a hell of a year. I know he didn't get Nice he wanted for the last couple of years. He was Challenger's boy. He used to win all the Challenge races. You know, he was that up and coming through that scene. He's having a great season. And I really like to see it because he's a lovely bloke. And he's a great all-round athlete as well. The women's race, Lucy Buckingham's got the win, but the kind of run really slow compared to the men. She has one trick, Lucy, at the moment, and it's a good trick. It's won her a lot of races. It swim really well. She's an insanely good swimmer. She bikes herself to death and then she just hangs on for the run. But when you pull it off, right?
Yeah. Moving on to challenge Samarkand in Uzbekistan. Ellie Salthaus taking the victory. Freddie Funk taking the victory. Second place for the women. Emma Pallant-Brown, third place, Margie Santamaria. And then on
I'm led to believe that Emma Pallant-Brown was ill most of the week, and she described that as like the worst she's felt in a very long time.
Yeah, so hats off to her for finishing the race. I mean, to still only come 10 minutes down from Ellie Salthaus after being sick all week?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Have you been to Uzbekistan before, Mark?
No, I've been to bordering countries of Uzbekistan, but the feedback I got of Aaron Royal and Freddie Funk was it was a great race. They said the organization was absolutely foolproof. The hospitality was really good. The place was nice. It was clean. It's one of those races like if you're going to do a 70.3 and you don't really care, but you like to travel, what an opportunity that is. What an excuse to go to somewhere you would never go to Uzbekistan.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah. No, I think that, that was an opportunity that got, presented to some of my athletes. And, I think for the life experience part of it, super, super cool. And shout out to Challenge for always looking for races in these unique locations. And shout out to the athletes for taking a chance. But yeah, I spoke to Aaron Royal as well. And he's like, dude, this place is awesome. And he's traveled a ton in his career. Right. And so I think as we see the globalization of triathlon continue, we're going to see races in these spots again. And clearly, a country like Morocco, who's had races there in the past, they've taken a new interest in triathlon. So I just think we're going to keep going to a lot of cool new places, and some of them are going to hit.
But how many Americans can name any of the countries that border Uzbekistan? So It's like Turkmenistan, Afghanistan, Kyrgyzstan, Kazakhstan. It is as remote as you're ever going to go on a tourist bucket list.
Yeah.
I think that's amazing. Good for challenge, like you say. Yeah. Good for challenge.
Yeah. Super, super cool. All right, Kyle.
And I say Americans. Sorry. Like the Brits have any fucking idea what that is either. That was just me being, that's completely unfair.
Kyle, we got some big races coming up this weekend. Give us a preview.
Dude, we still got two other races to talk about.
Wow. Okay.
Ironman Italy, the Belgian athlete Sten Goetz-Stauvers hangs on for his first Ironman victory. David McNamee got second place, just ran out of real estate, had a phenomenal run. And then
34
in third.
A 2:34 from McNamee. David McNamee can always run.
Yeah, he can run like a monster. And then the big Ironman in the U.S. this weekend, you had Ironman Maryland. Short and swim due to the currents and the tides. You would think that Sam Long has it in the bag. However, Michael Weiss gets his first victory since 2018. And then Jason Pohl catches Sam Long in the closing miles for his first podium ever. Sam Long putting the podium in third place.
I think we were all shocked by this one. And, you know, I'm not – obviously, Sam's had a bunch of life changes and exciting stuff going on. I would have assumed when it went to a, you know, a sub-12-minute swim that he had to just be – He would have just said, let's just stop the race. Hand me the first place ribbon right now. I'm going to go home. And
I tell you what, mate, there's only one person that's more glad for a short swim than Sam Long. That's Mickey Weiss. he cannot swim. So
yeah,
Sam was happy, Mickey must have been like, fucking winner.
I mean, so this is crazy. And I think, you know, you've got, I don't think it's nothing against them, but these are, you know, Mickey Weiss and Jason Pohl, these are journeymen in the sport, right? And for them to have this result and you know, earn a spot to Kona next year this early, congrats to them and yeah, good on them.
And I will say it because people will always grumble it. They grumble it on every post. Yes, Mickey Weiss is a convicted doper. He served a ban. Have a look at when that was before you go mad. Like before you get really too hung up on that, have a look at how old he was and what he was doing when he got popped. He was like an 18-year-old mountain bike cyclist out of Italy on a dodgy team, and they all got popped. He's, what, 40 now? So just, you know, I'm not even against lifetime bans. I'm not going to, like, defend it or anything like that. But there are bigger villains in the sport than probably Mickey Weiss. And when you chat to the guy, he's a really nice, really friendly bloke with actually not that many friends in the sport because people love to villainize people like that. So I say hats off to the guy. Fair play.
Yeah. Bags at early Kona slot. Same thing with Jason. Yeah. So phenomenal. It's great. As we get ready to move on to the races coming up this weekend, I want to remind you that this podcast, as well as all the other podcasts, is brought to you by Waterfall Racing. Waterfall Racing is a community that welcomes triathletes that are first place or last place. Annual fee is $75, and it's the best deal in triathlon. You join today, you get added to the Discord group. They have group rides, they have group races, they have meetups at races. You don't have to post 17 times on your Instagram about, I'm part of this team, go buy this product. I'm part of that team, buy that product. They also have Waterfall Bank, which is an FDIC bank that provides both commercial and personal banking for individuals and companies who want the best technology and top-tier service that go above and beyond. So visit waterfallbank.com to set up your bank, waterfallracing.com to join the racing team.
And I want to give a special shout out to Josh Burles, who's on the pro project. It was his first pro race yesterday at 70.3 Michigan. He had a fantastic swim, an amazing bike. And, you know, he ultimately felt it on the run and finished in 15th place. But for his first pro race, I think he should be super proud, and I think it's really cool what Waterfall Racing is doing by helping these athletes, you know, ultimately try and become true professionals. And that was a great first part of his early triathlon campaign in his life. So yeah, shout out to Josh, and yeah, it was really fun to cheer him on yesterday.
So you can say the pro project was a success.
I think so. Yeah, no, he looked great. He looked absolutely phenomenal on the bike. So
Bison fifth place.
Yep.
And then, as he calls it, his big ring blow up.
Yep. You know, the thing is what we call it is you get the fever on the first lap, and you think you're going to be able to run that pace the whole time. And it's the discipline to run much slower than you think you should that first lap of the run. So, yeah.
We got athletes going back to back this weekend, racing 70.3 Augusta. And to cap it off, you have the women's race, Paula Finley doing the race, Tamara Jewett, Jackie Herring, Grace Alexander, Anne-Marie Strehel, and it looks like Teresa Adams made her way onto the start list as well, who used to be, I mean, when the PTO ranking first came out, she's number one ranked athlete in the world. So it should be a fun race.
Great. Who do we have for the men?
Sorry. I was just going to say the battle there. Tamara Jewett versus Paula Finley.
It's a great battle.
I think if Paula's fit and fresh, I know she had some time off, she can gap her in the swim, and Tamara won't have the horsepower swim the bike group to hold the gap. I know Paula probably genuinely needs 5-6 minutes on her. I think Paula does it.
And I think the reality here is you know, you're going to be holding some fatigue in your legs from the half marathon you did on Sunday, and to turn around and do another one, it's a lot. And so I think the edge goes to Paula Finlay here. But like you said, if they come off the bike and it's 5.5 minutes, I think it's a coin flip. I really do.
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, there aren't many women in the world where it's not a coin flip when Tamara wins that. You've got Anne Howe, maybe Kat, you know, there's a few other women, Emma Pallant, that would even take 3 minutes. You know, Anne's probably the only one that's happy to take 3 minutes against Tamara. How mad is that?
Yep. Yep.
Tamara's only beat, let's remind everyone, Tamara's only beat Paula one time. One time. They've raced 10 times, and she's only beat her once.
So. Yeah, but Tamara's coming through. I've got Paula, and I often don't pick Paula, and then Paula wins. So watch Paula lose now. But I'd love to see Paula win. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we're in for a great, but long-winded way of saying, I think we're in for a great one here.
I like some of these small races. I'm really getting into them. I like the different battles you get to see, rather than the predictability of, you know, like Taylor Nibbs gone up the road, there's a chase pack, the gap's too big, so and so from it, or Ashley Gentle's there, she's definitely going to win. Like, these smaller races actually can be really interesting.
Yep.
You also have the men's race, which is Jackson, Trevor, Lionel, all racing again, with the addition of Minka Newt, which would make things interesting. And that's really about it. I mean, you got Ari Clow, Ben Deal. That's about it. So the front of the race would be exciting. The top five will probably...
Yeah, there though. Minka Newt, where does he come out the swim compared to Jackson? His swim's good, isn't it, Minka Newt?
Really good, yeah.
Yeah, really, really good. So if Jackson can go with Minka Newt, has a gap on Lionel, they've got some people that can work together that can both push power up the road. So Lionel's got maybe a bit of a challenge on his hands there.
Yeah. Minka Newt can outswim Jackson handily. So Minka Newt could even.
Oh, for sure.
Minka Newt could go wire to wire, like, to be honest with you.
Yeah, he's a super classy athlete. I mean, in the PTO rankings, right, he's ranked 16th swim, 23rd bike, 54 run. Like, I know they're all big numbers, but they're all relatively no numbers as an individual distance.
Yeah,
you know, he's a pretty well-rounded athlete.
Yeah,
I think Lionel. I think he's tough and resilient, and he races well on the bounce. I'm going to take Lionel.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know. I never take Lionel, but I'm taking Lionel.
It is now turned into the Lionel Sanders show.
No, it's I think you described that well, Mark. I think Lionel's going to be motivated on the bounce, and I think can you just give the listeners some context as to how hard we perceived probably Jackson to go if he's throwing up 15 meters from the line? Like, how deep do we think he went there?
So I disagree in a way. So I think you get like gastric problems from real high intensity VO2 efforts, like 2K on the rowing machine, like 800 meters. I think when you get gastric efforts in an endurance race, it's more likely a stomach problem, too much glucose sat in the stomach and the gut. So I'm not sure it's actually an indicator of how deep he went. The fact that he had to run to the very line and only won by 8 seconds tells me more than the vomiting, if that's fair.
Sure.
So it's pretty fair to say that he went real deep.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
So did Lionel. Because Lionel was
I mean, I don't think a secret. When you lose by 8 seconds and you were 39 down with 2 miles to go, you're thinking, what if I just cruised in that last, and it's like, well, like I said, I go back to when I saw him at 2 miles to go and I thought, geez, it's a lot. That's 20 seconds a mile to close. But at the rate that it's falling, you go, the goal is in a half marathon or a marathon to just evenly split, right? But if you're accelerating in the second half of the run, you are really chomping away some time at most people because they're decelerating. And so I think that's the math that you can never truly comprehend. If you're going faster and the person in front of you is dying, you can make up 40 seconds in 2 miles. It's possible.
Shh, Pat, you're giving away like Team Matthew's like blueprint for the last 5 years. It's literally the perfect. It's the only thing that she does better than everyone else. So what we're talking about, we're talking bollocks here, because we accept that Jackson went really, really deep. We accept the Lionel went really, really deep. Meek and Nick Cruz's tour went easy then, right?
Yeah, it's possible. It's possible.
However, my boy Trevor Foley got
my boy. I was about to say,
Trevor Foley. Here we go.
I mean, he got
loses 5 minutes to Meek.
Ran a 1:08. I mean, it could happen.
I don't care what he can run. Meek and Nick.
Yeah, we talked about this yesterday, debriefing it at Lionel's Airbnb. And it's like, Trevor's talking about going so deep on the bike. And he's like, my energy systems. And I said, bro, I don't mean to like punch you below the belt here, but I'm like, you've got to just get, I said, and we know this, but swimming 4:25 behind the lead swimmer this is a silver level race, this is a D level race. It's unacceptable. It's not the standard, right? And so you're having to go so deep. Trevor Foley's capable of running a 67 or a 68 half marathon if he just gets to ride his bike and doesn't have to go, always. He only has one choice when he gets on the bike, and that's just to absolutely go to the red zone for 90 kilometers.
Just motor it.
And so that's the difference. And that's not a secret. That's not something that, I'm not supposed to be sharing. It's just, that's the reality of the sport.
I mean, his swim has significantly improved.
Of course.
It has.
Yeah.
But I've swam 20K this year and I'd back myself. So it's improved. I wouldn't. Fucking hell, that's such bollocks. I've been swimming this week. I'm so bad, guys. I'm so, so bad. I don't know, like Tucson, there's one swim club there, super nice coach, really, really good operator, good guy. Not sure it's the place to improve your swimming.
I know Trevor's swimming two times per day. He's working hard. Right, he's working
hard. Yeah, hard. No. What am I? I'm not. Like, he's got great advice around him. Let's not start mentioning great advice.
Muscle in the water.
So fair.
We're spending way too much time on this for 70.3 Augusta, unfortunately.
Yeah, but it's your boy.
I know. It is my boy.
Yeah, and Mark backed Lionel. I mean, this is a new era.
Look, this race, and you know who it's going to be? It's going to be some random ass Australian named Fraser Walsh, who's just going to come and just obliterate the entire race, and we're going to not have said his name. So I'm just going to say his name just ahead of time.
Should we cover all the Southern Hemisphere? So Guy Crawford as well, Paul Smith. He could be great. I don't know who he is.
The people that know how to swim, the Australians and the New Zealanders, just make sure we hit on them at every race.
Right, what's next?
You also have 70.3 Cozumel, which is the best destination race. That's where Talbot and I did our No Train Ironman. It's a good time. Cozumel is fantastic. If you've never been, circle it and put it on your map. For the women, Sarah Crowley, Hannah Berry, Rachel Olson, Gertz Frauds is also racing. And then on the men's side, Luciano Taccone, Thomas Rodriguez, Michael Weiss, Andre Lopez, Nick Jace, Justin Rial making his return to racing. I mean, not the best field, but not that much worse than Augusta in terms of strength of field scores.
Yeah. You were going to say Gutis, Freitas, La Alda is who you were saying there.
Yeah, that was who I was thinking.
Yeah. Good over an Ironman and really good runner. Not a great swim bike necessarily. Really good runner. The smiliest athlete in the world of triathlon. Hannah Berry's an interesting one. Dr. Hannah Berry. Like, she was super good in the Southern Hemisphere races during COVID. Mm-hmm. And then she's really sort of plateaued out. And we talked about her a lot. She won a lot of races. I could see her winning that, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna take Dr. Hannah Berry.
Wow. All right.
Yeah, and obviously the big factor down in Cozumel will be the heat. You're doing a 70.3 in September in Mexico. That's going to be That's going to be next.
And in the men, I'm taking Luciano Tacchioni.
Yeah, for the men. That's fair shout.
I'm going to take Thomas Rodriguez.
He can run, that boy. Wow.
Runners only is who I pick. I only pick runners. Moving on to Challenge San Remo, you have kind of a smaller start list that's located just outside of Nice on the southwest coast of the Mediterranean of Italy. You have Jody Stimson making her comeback. And then on the men's side, you have Yuri Kolin, Arnold Gilo, Bart Arnott fighting out for the win.
You've got Meg McDonald as well in the women's race. Just a shout out, an unbiased shout out.
Right, unbiased for sure.
She's a friend of ours. She lives just near us, and I coach her. So, you know, just transparency.
Yeah. The other big race happening in Italy this weekend is the Xterra World Championship, which you have Bradley Weiss, who has already won 2 Xterra World titles, that's going to be toeing the line, and a whole lot of names that I've never even heard of before. So visit xterraplanet.com. Look at these names. Be like, wow. These are all people I've never heard of before, but Xterra is sick, and I want to be able to watch this race. It's happening this weekend. It's a 1.5K swim, 32K bike, and a 10K run. You can watch it on xterralive.com. Moving on.
Is this the same Bradley Weiss that is like 69 kilos and was pushing 400 watts when Sam Laidlaw went past him up a hill 15 minutes into
same
the
one.
Ironman World Champs?
Yeah, same one.
Well, he's in good shape. He rode bloody well there.
And he's fearless because he's South African, so.
I won't even argue with that, to be honest. Yeah. I've seen their rugby team in the lead up to the Rugby World Cup. That would quantify that statement for you. They are big bastards.
Hot takes? I don't know if this is a hot take, but this is something to mention. So the Malibu Triathlon, there was an article sent to me by Christoph, who runs the Obsessed Triathlete, the OBS Tri, who we do the fantasy league with. He sent me an article that Malibu Triathlon is at risk of being canceled. Now, this does not bode well for the Super League race happening in conjunction with this race due to the floods that took place earlier this year in California. Also, due to the floods, the U.S. Department of Fish and Wildlife have identified an endangered fish species in the flooded area that will not allow them to use the temporary bridge crossing, which is what they've used in the past. Get this. Can you believe that the Department of Fish and Wildlife has identified an endangered fish species that prevents you from making a fake bridge?
Well, we're going to see what happens. We're going to follow this one closely, Kyle.
Wait, is it Ron Swanson in there from old Parks and Recreation kicking off?
Just
absolutely livid about a tiny little blue-eyed fish. Classic.
Moving on to the PTO rankings. They will go through 2 more significant changes over the course of the next month. It'll go through a significant change this week as the U.S. Open from last year's rankings fall off. And so you'll see some shifts and moves. And then you'll also see 1 more big change once the Kona race happens for the women, and once the Kona race from last year falls off.
So the Kona race from last year is a huge one.
Yeah.
Because what it's basically throwing the PTO a bit of a gift for their rankings, because essentially it means that some of the best athletes that will race Kona will lose their highest score, and it will just destroy the soft score for the Kona race. Chelsea Sodaro's only got two races under her belt. So she drops from well into the top 10 to God knows 50th. So it really hit the soft score for Kona. So it's good for the PTO because it just keeps their races as complete primacy. It's unfortunate for the long distance athletes because it'll affect their score there. But it doesn't take away from the fact we know that when you've got Lucy Charles, Chelsea Sodaro, like Daniela Ryf, Anne Haug, whatever, all of them on the start line, it's the biggest women's field of the year. But the soft score won't show that. In the same way, the highest men's score of all time is Christian Blumenfeld in Bully Singapore. Come on.
KB's the number one athlete in the world.
Are you the guy that runs that account that puts comments on every single Instagram page? Have you seen this random troll? Is that you?
The troll that, if you click on his page, he does a lot of the US conspiracy theories too, but I'm not that big of a conspiracy theorist. So it definitely...
I got as far as saying that he's pro-Russia in the Russia-Ukraine conflict. And he's also KB's biggest fan. And he copy and pastes these same comments on every post.
Oh my God.
It was enough for me. I believe him.
Staying on US Open and the points rankings and for the PTO, if you were given a chance to give one wild card to someone next year, who are you giving it to?
Wow. Well, there's going to be some people that don't. It's how they do it, isn't it? They're not going to take the top 16. I just don't believe they're taking the top 16. Like Gustav Iden, they're begging him to take a contract. There's just no way they're taking the top 16. Like, there's loads of people. Chelsea Sodaro has a mechanical or something in Kona, doesn't finish. They're not taking Chelsea Sodaro because she's only got two scores. It's, come on. That's hypothetical. She'll be fine. She'll risk it, whatever. So I don't think we can have any idea of who's getting wild cards, because I think we'll end up wanting to give a wild card to someone ranked 11th in the world at the end of the year because they've given out these contracts to people actually ranked lower than them. That's my opinion.
Yeah, and I think the other thing to do is, you know, to understand, you know, before we pontificate about the contracts, et cetera, we need to have clarity around the schedule. And we will have a much better understanding of, once we have the schedule, what we believe the athletes will decide to do, because there certainly are long course specialists and there's people who have a desire to win an Ironman World Championship versus people that will say, no, this PTO series, this is perfect for me. This is all I want to do. And so we're not going to have clarity on that, in my opinion, until we know the schedule.
And I think Nice was a perfect indicator.
Let me force feed you guys. Are you picking Rico Bogan, the 70.3 world champion, who's ranked 34th in the world? Are you picking Javier Gomez, who's 5-time world triathlon champion? Are you picking
Kyle? Let's stop for a second. We have to remember they have not, filling a field has been an issue. So I'm not worried about wild cards because they've had to go deep in selecting athletes every single time they've raced. So filling fields at whether it's 20 or 25, I mean, that's been a struggle. That's been a challenge for the PTO. And so I think the answer should be, should they have Rico a wild card? Yep. Should they give Javier Gomez a wild card? Yep. And then they're going to have to go down the line and give out three more that they didn't think they were going to have to give come race week.
There's one race that they didn't have to struggle to fill, and that was the US Open. So 25, in my opinion.
No, they start. Are you kidding me, Kyle? The week of the race, they were adding people on the list.
But that's because the European athletes didn't want to come over.
This is precisely my point.
Yeah, well, that's his point. Yeah,
that's exactly my point. But come, so they can award whatever they want in advance. But come race week, if you want to do the race, you're gonna get to do the race.
The biggest struggle was filling the Singapore start list, though.
So exactly. That's why they paid athletes to attend it and called it a media fee. What?
So, I mean, I rest my case. I mean, it's filling these fields is not going to be an issue.
And if Alistair Brownlee phones them the week of the race and they've got 20 athletes on the start line, and he says, I want to race.
They're going to have
He's
21.
Fucking racing.
Yeah, exactly. They got room on the pontoon. I mean, it's not going to be a problem. So
yeah, you just stand there. Stand on the edge, mate. You'll be fine.
Yeah, it'll be fine. Yeah, you're so good. You just stand behind somebody. Well, you dive.
We'll get
in
someone
after.
To hold your bike. I know there's not a racking spot. He'll just hold your bike. It's cool.
Yeah.
Go a little lighter. A little lighter question, Pat. You're going to Pontevedra for the grand final this weekend.
Yep.
Are you going to go watch Javier Gomez's band play in Pontevedra on Saturday?
Oh my gosh. You know, Javier and his wife, Javier and his wife, Annika, have been so awesome to Gwen at her time there. So if Javier is playing somewhere, you count me in. I'm going to be there front row screaming. Absolutely.
100%. The guy is so cool.
Yeah.
He's amazingly good looking. His wife's completely lovely. He's a really talented musician, and he's arguably one of the greatest triathletes that's ever lived. You're there.
You're going. Yep, Stanley will be on my shoulders with headphones on, so to block out the noise. So we'll be there 100%.
So I've got a hot take, and it's maybe a bit controversial. It's referenced Pontevedra. Now, am I right in thinking that every American female is basically afraid of Gwen somehow stealing a qualification slot? They will, nearly all of them, hope to be able to swim ahead of her. Is there a world where we see in Pontevedra the American females absolutely drilling the front of the bike at the start of the race to make sure they get rid of one of their own countrywomen?
I
don't think any of those women racing, if we think Taylor Spivey's maybe injured, I don't know, but they don't back themselves to outrun Gwen. No way. So I think we could see American women not sabotaging, it's part of racing, they're all racing through everything, but it would be an unusual thing to see. Is that a world, Carl? What do you reckon?
Well, yeah, I think the reality is it's important to remember, just because it doesn't matter if you're on the US team, the German team, the Australian, there's a confusion, right? None of them are teammates, right? They're representing the same country, the same federation, but they are simply not teammates. And so I think, you know, that's, they've been in that situation before, and Gwen's been on either side of it, right? Where she's had times where, you know, her own country's racing, their athletes are racing a different way. And then she's had a benefit where, and this is a big one going back, where the Brits have raced a certain way for their own things that actually benefited Gwen even more greatly than they could see into the future. And so I think this is what we call racing. This is what happens when everybody has an individual plan. And sometimes those individual plans, they can distract from what you're trying to do, or they can attract and achieve exactly what you're trying to do. So very big weekend on tap, and I'm thrilled to watch it happen.
I'm going to take care of a little bit as well. Just because I'm a massive Formula One fan, this is exactly what happens in Formula One. Number one goal is to beat your teammate. Number two goal is to beat everyone else. If you're not beating your teammate, then you're not going to beat everyone else. So I think that the USA women will 100% do everything within their power for not only themselves to have a chance to prove to the US conglomerate that they deserve a slot. If they're not on the podium, then there's two discretionary slots, but one slot that'll be awarded next year and then one discretionary slot for the US women. But you also have, I mean, if you look at the start list, all seven of them have a chance to podium. Granted, as long as they're not injured. But it's going to be exciting racing this weekend, regardless of what happens, just because there's other battles within the battles going on. But the number one battle that I'm going to be focused on is the US women.
I showed Stanley, speaking of Pontevedra, I showed Stanley some pictures of food from the region of Galicia where we're going, and it was octopus. He wasn't so convinced that he was going to be trying it this weekend, but I hope to get him to enjoy it.
Tell him it's chicken.
Oh man. Yeah.
I know the other show covered it, but I'll throw my 10 pence in. It's another Hayden Wild, Alex Yee showdown for me. Because it's for the World Series, right? That's why it's a showdown there. Quite a lot has to come together for either of the other two to stand a chance for Kola Velaka and Berger. But I could see Alex. I can't see Alex Yee getting beaten after Paris. I know they'll have talked about this. I think the Brits are rolling home a world title on the men's side for the first time since, what, Brownlee?
Yeah.
Alistair?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. It's crazy. I've already said who my picks are, but
cool.
Do you want to give some picks for the men's race, Pat? No.
I mean, how do you, my thing is how do you bet against ultimately who are the top three in the series? And it's Alex Yee, Hayden Wild, and Vasco Vilaka. And I ultimately, I'd love to see Christian Blumenfeld factor. He will factor for sure on the bike. He'll bring a big group up, but I just think the speed from is going to be lacking just because he's done a little bit more long distance stuff. So, you know, looking at him, looking at somebody like Morgan Pearson, who's now got nothing to lose. And you saw that in Carlo Vivari where he's set. And so now he's just playing with house money. And I think he's swimming great. He's riding spectacularly. And he's going to say, you know, look, I'm going to run with my heart and my gut here. And let's not be surprised if Morgan Pearson's on the podium on Saturday night.
He's starting to become one of the greatest single day racers. That's one of my favorite terms to use. But for a long time, I feel like it was Alistair Brownlee. I'm not going to even mention Alistair Brownlee and Morgan Pearson in the same breath. But
I was about to lose my shit.
I would be like, no, I think that you're seeing a guy like Morgan Pearson who can step up in these great moments. And yeah. You know,
he was second last year at Abu Dhabi and no one pegged him for anything.
Yeah.
And then he goes bangs out a sixth place in Paris. Like,
yeah.
And then wins in Carlo Vivari.
I guarantee he's not leading the run after 1K though. Who's that German that will definitely be leading the run after 1K?
Schoenberg?
Yes. There's no doubt. We know he comes out of T1. He runs a 2:45 first K. He finishes about ninth.
Yeah,
that's so good.
Yeah, we're gonna see Morgan Pearson on the front end of this run. He won't be leading. He's gonna be checking stuff out and observing. But yeah, I think we're gonna see a fantastic men's race on Saturday night.
Yeah, fair. One last hot take: Kona women, who's making the journey?
All
that was me.
That was you.
Well, no, it's not. Well, I think there are some rough legs kicking around and a little bit of people checking themselves slightly. You know, Daniela's for the first time ever publicly spoken about being a bit unwell and not on great form. Haven't heard from Anne Haug in, I don't know, 6 weeks. I thought she was meant to be on the island. I thought she was meant to be in Club La Santa. I've not seen her, not heard anyone working with her here. And I wonder, there are seven women for me that sit out the front of all of them, like Laura Phillip, Anne Haug, Lucy Charles, whatever. I reckon at least one or two of those won't make the trip to Kona for some reason or other. That's just a feeling I've got. I think some people are cooking a bit hot.
See, Mark, I thought you were talking about about the excitement of all of Pro Tri News making the journey to Kona.
Oh, and wow. So, yeah. We're now all going, aren't we?
Yeah,
Kyle sold like $1 million worth of product this year for his company.
Yeah, so he's,
Kyle's got his bonus check coming in, so he's coming.
I've got my dependent Talbot coming with, and he's going to be staying by my side.
Is Talbot definitely coming?
I think so. Yeah. So we're going to make this happen, and you know, I think we're sorry, Mark, where I thought you were going, and I'm happy that you touched on the athletes, but where I thought you were going was potentially from an industry side, right? And going.
Oh, well, now that's interesting.
If you buy a massive
off bar in Nice, is your brand doing the same in Kona? Because if it's not, it won't be us that call it out, because I understand the costs involved and the priorities and the proximity to travel from Europe, but someone will call that out.
Yeah.
It will be noticed. Absence.
I'm not so concerned of who I'm not going to be looking at it necessarily from a who's there and who isn't there standpoint. I'm trying to get an understanding of what does the energy feel like when they're split, right? And that's what from observing Nice, and then now I'm excited to be at Kona and to say, okay, what is it actually like with the split world championship? And it's fun that our world championship season gets extended, but I think it's caused a little too much disruption, in my opinion. And I think it's disjointed the Ironman community a little too much. So I would say, you know, look, let's search. If I could have my wishes, I would search for venues where you can do the days separate, Saturday, Sunday, Thursday, Saturday. And I don't think that's what Ironman wants too, right? But it's challenging to find. And I think that it's just something that we're going to continue watching. We're going to continue talking about.
Thoughts on that, Carl? I've got one before after you.
I just think that there is a world that I lost my train of thought. Go ahead, Mark. I'll come back. It'll come back to me.
My thoughts were actually summed up perfectly, more eloquently and with more credibility by Jan Frodeno on Global Triathlon Network. Did you see, they put a video out, he sat on the turbo trainer and he discusses the split. And he's like, I quite like Nis thing. Kona's the identity of the sport, but I get from a financial standpoint the benefit of moving around. They need a foot in Kona. And then he basically goes on to the women. He's like, but that is stupid. I'm not gonna cover what he said. Just go watch what Jan Frodeno had to say about it. I thought it summed up, I think, a lot of people's thoughts brilliantly.
Yeah. What I remember I was going to say is I feel like there was like a clump. You say that we're in championship season. I think someone is pouring a cup of tea.
Pat's just pouring himself a glass of wine.
Pouring coffee, sorry. Yep.
Man, all right. My thought process is we had such a clump of like world championship racing, and now there's not really a lull period because we got the – what do we have? This weekend we have the grand final. Next weekend we have the Super League race in Malibu, potentially, barring the blue-eyed fishes can leave. And then we have a break for a weekend and then Kona. And so my fear is we've almost grown too far away from the big clump of national or world championship races that we've had. And now people are like, oh, shoot, I forgot that we actually have one more world championship.
So we do this. We've done this 2 years in a row. We've said the PTO is the pinnacle. Look at these races. You know, will Kona be a flop? Kona comes around and we're like, fuck, I completely forgot how much bigger and better it is than anything in the sport. Nice has already done that for me in a way. Nice was better than anything we've seen all year. I mean, the hype, the atmosphere, the course, the coverage. And I think for the women, Kona will be the same. And I honestly believe if you offered, let's take Daniela, or if you offered Laura Phillip or Anne or Kat, if you offer them two PTO wins or even three or winning Kona, I think they'd all take Kona.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. I'm even willing to go to five.
Five wins for
dude, it's just it's the pin. I mean, it is the Tour de France of triathlon. You know,
you're talking $500,000 versus $125,000.
They want the street cred. They want the street.
But
cred.
Also, Kyle, if you are one of the biggest athletes and you've got good contracts in place based off, say, last year or the year before's profile of the sport, Kona is worth almost that much to an athlete. It's worth at least two or three PTO wins. If the prize money doesn't match it, it's worth two or three minimum PTO wins financially. Not to mention, you end up in national newspapers. You know, if Lucy Charles had won Kona one of these years, she'd have been the back cover of the Times, the Telegraph, should be on the front of the BBC. PTO race, they're great. They're doing huge things for the sport. Maybe it'll get there. But right now, Kona's worth it.
Yeah. And if you've never been to Kona before, you need to go. Pat is going to experience it for his first time.
No, I mean, think about all the traveling that I've done in my life. I've simply never been to Hawaii. So this is, I'm more excited than, there's a bunch of things that's happening here. So yeah, I'm really thrilled to see it. I was strategizing my viewing plan yesterday with Waterfall Ben, and I'm thrilled to check it out.
Yeah.
Are you still staying with us, or are you going top to tail with Talbot and a little trouble or
something? No, I'm going to stay with you.
Oh, we won't be. I'll have to bet. But yeah, I was just curious. Just checking plans.
That's awesome. Okay, guys. Well, this is a 25-minute podcast we planned for is now at 59 minutes. So
plus the part one episode.
Right. We got a 90-minute show here on tap. So
we'll close it out. Thank you guys for listening. It means so much to us that over the last 3 years, our brand's been able to grow and thrive and flourish. We've been through a lot together since we started this journey back in 2021. The best thing that you can do for us is follow us on Instagram, give us 5 stars if you feel we deserve it, or give us 4 stars, but mostly 5 stars on either Spotify or Apple Podcasts. We're trying to give you the best content in triathlon. The more people that we have listening to this, the better rankings and the more Instagram followers we have, the better likelihood we have of getting sponsored by Apple and Starbucks and the big Fortune 500 companies that we deserve. So thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you guys next week.